We're starting here at the top of Tet Zayin Amud Aleph, continuing with the Gemara from yesterday about the issue of Vestot, which is Bar Mina Emer of Nachman, Vestot De'oraita, O De'Rabbanan. The question that we saw in a number of the Machlokot yesterday, which is, what's the status of Vestot? In terms of what that means, as Rashi points out, Vestot De'oraita De'Rabbanan, Hai Kaimelan De'Bai B'dika V'Shad Vesta. We know that she needs to do a check when she normally would have a sighting, when she expects to be pirsa nida, to menstruate. So that check that we demand is that d'oraita. And if she's not bodeket, if she does not check, then she is tmea, because we assume oreach v'zmanoba. Or do we say that check is only a chumra d'rabanan, it's a tekna d'rabanan, and she misses that check, then she is tehora, unless, of course, we find evidence to the contrary. Amar lo ahu, de amar huna chavrin, mishmei de rav. Since our good friend Rav Huna says in the name of Rav, isha sheyesh la veset, v'yigia shad vesta, woman has a normal or fixed cycle, and it reaches the point in the cycle where she should menstruate, v'lo badka, she does not check, ulusov ra'ata, and then she eventually does have a sighting, chosheshet la vesta, v'chosheshet liri ata. We worry about her veset, and we worry about her sighting, almo, Vestot deoraita. And this you can conclude that Vestot is deoraita. So what exactly happened over here? She passed the zman of her Vestot and did not check. And then later on she has a sighting. Question is, how do we deal with this sighting? That's number one. Number two is, how do we come to the conclusion that Vestot are deoraita? So Rashi does that in one way, which is kasalka datcha. Du adinami in bodko matzata teora. That if she checked afterwards and found herself teora, the same did would apply. Uve choshesh de vesta. So you see from this, the case that we have here doesn't prove anything about Vestot D'oraita or not Vestot D'oraita, because in the end she does see Damim. And when she sees Damim, whether it's D'oraita or D'rabbanan, we're choshesh that the Dam came beforehand. So the fact that you say that there's Vestot D'oraita from this statement is not so clear. So what Rashi says is that the Gemara's assumption here is that whether she saw the Damim or did not see the Damim, either way, she would be Tmeya based on her Vestot. And that's how we know Vestot or D'oraita. Now, what does it mean, choseshet levesta and choseshet leriata? According to Rashi, that means that we look at the greater of the two. Riata is me'eid leit, 24 hours backwards. Vesta is the time when she should have seen her damim, when she expected to have her cycle. So therefore, we take the two of them. If me'eid leit show riata kodun levesta, 24 hours is before her veset, meaning the veset was less than 24 hours ago, we go after the 24 hours. The other way around, if the 24 hours expires before it would have gone back to her veset, then we worry about her veset. So we're choshesh for both sides. We're machmir, the greater of me'eid le'eid and her veset. Plus, Rashi says that even if she didn't have a sighting of damim, we'd still be choshesh for vesta. We'd still go back to her veset. That's what proves that vestot are d'oraita, which is that we're choshesh for her veset. That's enough to say that it's d'oraita. Tosafot, on the other hand, says, Vim tomar, heich wotzelo hechiach de vesto d'oraita. How do you know that from this statement by Rav Huna that vesto d'oraita, lo, afilum vesto d'rabanan, kevin d'rata achshav, since she saw now, tmeya gam mizman veset misafik. Everybody agrees that even if you think that vesto d'rabanan, once she has a sighting of damim, we'll suspect that the damim already came at the time of the veset. That's for tarot that we're choseshet. We don't assume that her count is off. That's the beginning of her nida. That we don't assume. That's just a din derabanan. But here, if you say that her count is off, and we classify it as if that was the beginning of her nida, that makes it vestot deoraita. Some people say this way. Taimo derato halorato ein choseshin amo vestot derabanan. This is the opposite of what Rashi said, which is the only reason she is Tmeya here is because she had a sighting of Damim. Once she has a sighting of Damim, we have a circumstantial evidence that the Damim is there and that you should be Choshesh back to the Veset. But what happens if she did a check and she finds herself Tehora? Over there we're going to say that she is Tehor. So that means Vestot Derabanan. Because if Vestot were Deoraita, then even if she checks and sees nothing, we assume Orech Bizman Oba, it came irrespective of the fact that she's now Teora and doesn't see anything. Assume it came at the time of the Veset and she is Tmeya, no matter what the check shows. So here we have two readings in the position of Rav Huna. One reading is saying that Vestot are Deoraita, And one reading that says, Vestotar derabanan, depending how you extrapolate the case of Ra'ata, where she did see Damim in the check, to the case of where she didn't see Damim in the check. So if you say that the din is the same by both of them, then Vestotar deoraita. If you say there's a distinction between when she saw Damim when she checked versus when she doesn't, then you would have it be the Vestotar derabanan. Sitmar, Isha Sheishla Veset, woman who has a fixed cycle. V'giyashat vesta v'lo badka. Came to the time of her veset, and she did not check. Ulusov badka, and then she does check afterwards. So the same cases we just had before. So amarav, badka umatzat tmeya, tmeya, tehura, tehura. Rav says if you check, and there's damim there, then we assume the damim already came from the time of the veset. She checks, and she finds nothing. Then she remains tehura. Shmuel Amar, afilu badka umatzat tehura, nami tmeya. Shmuel says, it doesn't matter what she finds in the bdika. We assume that the gist comes at its proper time, meaning that if she has a fixed cycle, it's coming at the time of the fixed cycle. So even though she's checking now and finding nothing, the assumption is that it did come beforehand, and she is tmeya tumat nida. Got covered up, it got washed out, fell out, whatever it is. It's just, all you need is a tipat dam kechardal. It can be the smallest amount of damim, so there are many ways that it could have gotten obscured. The assumption is that it was there, but it got obscured. So leima bevestot kamiflegid. Let's assume that machlok between Rav and Shmuel is about this exact point. Demar savedoraita, Shmuel holds that doraita, that's why irrespective of what you find, you are tmeya. Mar savedorabanan, Rav thinks that it didn't rabanan, therefore, if you find something, if she's tmeya, then lemafreya, we assume that it came to shad veset. But if you find that she's Torah, we don't assume that it came. So Rabbi Zera, no. The Kuleyama Vestot Deoraita. Everybody believes that the Veset is Deoraita. Kan Shibad Katzma Kishur Veset. Kan Shalobad Katzma Kishur Veset. And therefore, even Rav is Mode that Vestot or Deoraita. Father Kamer de Matzah Torah, Torah, Shibad Kabishur Veset Shovesta. He's in when the normal time that she would cite. So if you check in the normal time that she's citing, and you don't see anything there, that's good evidence that she's not seeing anything. Because you checked within the normal time frame in which she sees her veset. And Shmuel says, no, even though you missed it, we can assume orech bezmano ba, and therefore, it's considered to be there even if you can't find it. But if you check afterwards, after that period of time, then everybody would agree that you are tmeya because not the zman when you should see. Probably missed it. It came during the regular time, you missed it, and now you're checking at a time that doesn't have relevance. So if you checked within the normal time frame of the Veset, Rav says you are a Torah. If you find a Torah, Shmuel says you're still Tmeya. Rashi brings an alternative girsa in the Gemara, it seems. The Rav and Shmuel actually agree. And that they're just talking about the different periods of time. Rav is talking about a check during the Zman of Veset, and Shmuel is talking about a check after the Zman of Veset. And they both agree. It just means that they're talking about a different situation. Rav talking about a situation where you check during the Veset and find nothing. There even Shmuel would agree you're Torah, because you checked when the Orech was supposed to come, and nevertheless, there's nothing there. On the other hand, if you checked afterwards and you find nothing, that's not evidence, because it could have come in its time, and now you don't see it, it was obscured somehow. Nachman by Yitzchak Amar, Bevestot Kufayu Kamiflege. Nachman Yitzchak sends it back to our original assumption that Rav and Shmuel are arguing in the Veset itself. Rav saying Veset Derabanan, Shmuel saying, Veset deoraita. The Marsav Vesetot deoraita is Shmuel. Marsav Vesetot derabanan is Rav. Machloket Rav and Shmuel. Halocha kirav bi sure. Which would indicate from this that it would be Vesetot derabanan. In addition, Amar Rav Sheshe Ketanai. This is similar to Machloket Tanaim. Rav Lez Omer Tmeya Nida. Shomer Tivdok. The Rav Yosef says she's automatically Tmeya Nida when she passes her Veset, meaning Veset is Doraita. Yeshua says, Tivdok, check. If she finds that there is Damim, she has a sighting, then Enochanami, she's Tmeya from the time of the Veset. But if she finds nothing, she is Torah. Yeah, that was Rav Zera's statement. Over here, they're not giving any guidelines as to when she has to check. Here you have Machloket Rebelez of Rav Yoshua, Halacha Ke Rav Yoshua, which means Vestot De Rabbanan. And Bahani Tanai Tiani Tanai. This Machloket Tanaim is similar to another Machloket Tanaim. The Tanya Vimei Omer Tmeya Nida. The Chumim Omerim Tivdok. Again, the same Machloket. The Chumim say that she should check and figure out if she has a sighting or not. She has a sighting in Ochanami retroactively to the Veset she is Tmeya. Whereas, according to Rabbi Meir, Tmeya Nida. Automatically, we assume she's Tmeya Nida from the Veset, Meir believing Vesto Deoraita, Chachamim saying Vesto De Rabbanan. Machloket, Rabbi Meir v'Chachamim, Halacha ke Chachamim, Vesto De Rabbanan. We have a similar Mishnah that supports that position or that understanding of Rabbi Meir. Did none. She was hiding, it was a time when she normally would see, she didn't check, Torah. She hears Torah because over there it's a case where there are thieves, robbers, marauders in the town, she's hiding, she's scared, that fear, that sense of fear is what causes the dam to disappear. Now this type of charida has to be something that is a continuous fear and something that is very apparent to the woman, and she's sensing it, and she's feeling anxious. And that anxiety takes away the damim. But it's not something where we have a sudden fear. She gets shocked. That, in that case, it's actually the opposite. She gets shocked, or has a sudden fear of pitomi, there we say that it actually brings the damim, instead of being misalekah the damim. So it has to be something that's continuous, and therefore you have to be careful. If she's ever misiach dat from the fear, that could engender the damim coming. It has to be something that's continuous and apparent type of fear. So time adika charida, like we've done this before, nimsechta, back on daftet, that the midayik, that's only true because she's in fear. Halakha leka charida, if she had not been in fear, tmeya, alma vesto doraita, according to Rabbi Meir. So now you have three machlokot, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Yoshua, and Chachamim and Rabbi Meir, and each one of these cases, based on the Klaliya Psach, we come out that are vestot are derabanan. That's what Tosfot says over here, near the halacha, the vestot derabanan. Seems from here that the machoket here between vestot derabanan deraita, the conclusion is vestot derabanan. First of all, Nachman bar Yitzchak is a batra, and he says that Rav holds vestot derabanan, and halacha k'rav b'yisurei. Again, we have Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Lezer, halacha k'rav Rabbi Yeshua says vestot derabanan, and Chachamim versus Rabbi Meir, where the Chachamim are vestot derabanan. He says, similarly, the shiltot, the Rav Chai and the Rabbeinu Chananel, the Ipaskin, Isha Shiesh Leveset, Velo Badka, Bishad Vesta, Vachukach Badko Matzata Teora, Teora Labala, checks after the time that she should have had her Veset, finds no Damim, she's Tahor, so Tahor that she can even be together with her husband, because we believe Vestot are the Rabbanan. Miu, Nira, the Chatchila, Tzuchalib Dok, Bishat Veset. Nevertheless, even though we hold that Vestot are the Rabbanan, you should still check l'chadchila at the zman that it should have come. We tell you to do that check. And l'chadchila also, we tell you that if you miss the check, you should check again before you do anything. Before you make any assumptions that you're Torah, you should do another check before you continue. Again, b'diyevet, if she doesn't do the check at that time and checks later, then we will assume she's Torah if she doesn't find anything in the latter check. Gemara says, Lema ani tanai b'ha nami plige. Let us say there's another machloket tanaim along these lines, the Tanya. If a woman sees blood that came from an injury, even though it's during the time that she normally menstruates, Tehoran, she's considered to be Torah, Divrei Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Rabbi Omer, Im Yesh La Veset, Chosheshet La Vesta. If it comes over the period of time that it's her fixed cycle, let's assume that part of the damim that she saw was damim from her fixed cycle. My love, Hakamiflege, this is the machlok, the Marsavar Vesto Doraita, Rabbi holds Vesto Doraita, therefore we're Choshesh that she saw Dam Nidan and got covered up by the Dam Makah. Marsavar Vesto Dorabanan, which is position of Shimon Gamliel that says he is Tehora. We assume that nothing happened. All she's seeing damim here, we can be told that damim in the Makah, therefore we say that there is no Dam Tamei here. You have to say here that the woman is aware of the fact that the blood is coming from the makah. Because we do say in general there's a tliyah. Tliyah that if we can be toleh, hang the damim on something, then we assume that that's where it came from. But that's true when she's not in her normal veset. If she's at her veset, how can you make a suggestion that all the dam we saw then is dam makah? Doesn't make sense. Of course she's going to see her regular menstrual cycle. So why should you just assume, no menstrual cycle this month? So you have to suggest, and that's what Tosfot says, has to be that she's sensing that damim is coming from the makah, so there is again circumstantial evidence that the dam is coming from the makah and not from dam nida. But if she doesn't feel anything, with the tziyah dam in a makah, tmeyal kuliyama kibz man vesta, who would ever suggest that she's not having a regular cycle just because she has a dam makah? So I'm a Ravina. Ravina rejects that understanding of this machloket tanaim. It says, lo, kuliyama vestot dirabanan. Another evidence that Vesta the Rabbanan, here have Ravina, who's also a Batra, saying that Vesta the Rabbanan, according to Kuliyama, Ocha, b'mekor, mikomot, tomei, kamiflege. The argument here is whether the uterus automatically makes everything tamei. Shimon el Sabar, Isha Torah, v'dam tamei, ka'ate, derech mekor. Shimon Malio believes that the mekor itself is mitamei the dam. That means that if you have blood that exits from the mekor or comes through the uterus, but it's not dam nida, that damim itself is tamei because it went through the mekor. But the woman is not a nida. So you can have the damim themselves be tmeim, but the woman herself not be affected by the damim that are tmeim. So as opposed to a nida was the setting of damim that make her tamei too much, shiba, and the dam is tamei. Over here, the dam will be tamei for tumat erev. It'll be an avat tumah that creates a rishon of tumah, makes something into tumat erev, but it will not make the woman into a nida that she'll have a problem of tumat shiva. On the other hand, Rabbi says, v'amrlei Rabbi, ich haishad the veset isha nami tmeya. If you're worried about a veset, then the woman herself should also be tmeya, because if the blood exited from the uterus, even though it's dam makah, it could have been mixed with dam nida. If you're going to assume that the damim came from there, you got to assume that there's a possibility that it's completely tmeya. V'lo chayshad the veset. If you don't worry about the veset itself, then makor makomo tahor hu. The uterus itself is tahor. The uterus itself has no bearing on tumah tahara. Only dam nida, that is the problem for nida. So if other damim come out of the uterus, we're not going to assume that dam is dam tamei. So the machloket revolves around this issue of whether damim that are not dam nida, that come out from that area, whether they have a classification of tumah, even though they're not dam nida. If you think Veset's still right, though, then of course you have to worry about it. If you think Veset the Rabbanan and you're choshesh for Veset the Rabbanan, then she should be tamei tumat nida, because you're worrying about it. That's his position. Whereas with Rabbi, if you're not worried about the Veset, then you shouldn't be worried about the dam at all. Dam from there is not tamei unless it's dam nida. Alright, next Mishnah. Bet Shemai omrim, tzricha bet edim al kol tashmish v'tashmish. Shemai says you require two checks for every bi'ah. O, tashmish lor aner. Or otherwise you have to have a candle there where you can check the edim. Bet Hillel omrim, daya b'shnei edim kol alayla. Oh, you require two kolos for the whole night. Cholvet Rashi and Tosafot, I'd explain what the two edim here are. Rashi says, shnei edim, chadashim, you need brand new cloths. For every tashmish, one beforehand and one after. For every tashmish she does, she has to do one check beforehand and one check afterwards. And according to Beit Shammai, that means for every bi'ah that she has to do a check beforehand and a check afterwards with new cloths. According to Beit Hillel, she can use the same cloth and check beforehand and afterwards each time. Just keep checking. Each time she does it, she uses the same cloth over again, does a check before, check afterwards. Now, according to Rashi, in either case, it has no impact in terms of her husband, because we're not going to check these edim until the morning. We're going to wait until the morning. Whether you're Beit Shammai or Beit Hillel, Beit Hillel, you only have two cloths. One that did the checking before, one that did the check afterwards each time. And in the morning, you'll check those cloths. On the other hand, Beit Shammai will have multiple cloths for every bi'ah that was done. But nevertheless, you're not going to check until the morning. So either way, this has no impact on her bow, on her husband, and that's what Rashi says over here. We don't know if she has sighting in between the times that she had bi'ah. Nevertheless, ben the Beit Shammai, ben the Beit Hillel, lo ichpatlan. That has no impact. The whole check here is for tarot, and not to be permissible to her bala. So here, in terms of the bow, there's no impact. That's the way Rashi learns this. Tosafot, on the other hand, has a number of questions on the sheet of Rashi. And Tosafot says that the two edim here are, Menira Lari, compares to Rashbam, to the Beit Shammai, Tzricha Bet Edim, Chadashim, Achar Tashmish, Echad Lo, Vechada. The two cloths that we're talking about here are not a check before and a check afterwards, but rather, both for afterwards, one for her, and one for him. And therefore, after each bi'ah, they both require a check, according to Beit Shammai. New cloths for every check. Beit Hillel says you can use the same two cloths all night. He'll use the same cloth over and over again, and she'll use the same cloth over and over again. But the checks are not before and after, but rather, they're both afterwards, one for her, one for him. Beit HaRabbanan. Afal pi shamru ha-mishamesh mitato lo'or ha-nera izeh meguneh. We know that the Gemara states in other places that having biyah when the light is on and when there's a ner there is improper. Nevertheless, Shemay Omrim, Tzricha Shneidim, Akol Tashmish, O Tashmish Lohar Ner. Nevertheless, Beit Shemay says either she has to do separate cloths for every check, or she has to have light there where she can check to that light. So despite the fact that we discourage biyah Lohar Ner, nevertheless, Beit Shemay wants you to be checking. And therefore, they say, either you check the Oraner or you check in the morning with multiple cloths. If she doesn't have multiple cloths, the Oraner is necessary. And we will, quote, unquote, waive the issue of Oraner in order to be sure that she is Teora. So I'm going to land Beit Shemay, the Beit Hillel, Beit Shemay says to Beit Hillel, I don't understand. Why do you not require separate cloths for every bi'ah? Because what could happen? She could have seen a tipa dam kechardal, and then it'll be on the cloth. After the first check, there's a tiny bit of blood on the cloth. Then in the second time, she goes in and checks, and the shechvat zera there dissolves or dilutes the dam that's on the aid, and now you don't see it. And continuing through the whole night, she's going to continue to check with that same aid, and more and more liquid is going to get onto that aid, and it's going to obscure the dam kechardal that's on the aid. Good question the Beit Shemay has on Beit Hillel. The Beit Hillel says back to them, "Ale Beit Hillel, after divichem lichosh ad sharok betoch hapeh shem nimok v'leichlo." Says, wait a minute, why aren't you worried about that with the first bia? How do you know that you didn't see a tipa dam kechardal in the first bia? And the Sheikh Vadzera from the first Biyah covered it up and obscured it. Shemai says, the more liquid, the more chance that it was obscured. On the first time, you only have the Sheikh Vadzera, one of one Biyah. Over there, you're right, it might cover it up, but it's less likely to cover it up. Already when you're on the second Biyah, third Biyah, and you continue to have Sheikh Vadzera that's covering it up, there's more and more chance that it was obscured, or even if there was dam there, it no longer will be visible. So Beit Shemay says, Eino Chanami, if it was realistic for the first bia, we would check, but that's not realistic. But we know that as you progress through the night, and you have more and more biot, there's more and more likelihood that Tipat Dam Kechadal is getting obscured. Tilal says, just like you can't check on the first bia, and we're not choshesh for it, so too, on the remaining biot, we're not going to be choshesh for the Sheikh Vadzera covering over the damim. Satani Amar Rabbi Yeshua Ru'eh Aniyah Divrei Beit Shemay. Yeshua says, I think Divrei Beit Shemay makes a lot of sense here, and that Halacha should be like Beit Shemay. Amar Lo Talmidav Rebbe Kamei Rachta Eleinu. Talmidim say to Rabbi, if you do that, you're making it very difficult for us. Samar Lehem Mutav Sharich Aleichem Elamazeh. It's good. I'll make life a little difficult for you in this world. Kadei Sheirichu Yamechem Neolam Abba. In order that things should be a lot better for you, Yolam Abba. Amar Rabbi Zeira, Midivrei Kulam Nilmad, what they all say we'll learn, Be'el Nefesh Lo'ivo V'Yishneh. Person should not have Bia twice in a single night, and as Rashi points out, without checking. That if you check in between, then there's no issue. The better idea is to check. Because even Beit Hillel says that you need a check after all the Tashmish of that night. So they definitely believe that we're Choshesh L'ri Adam. They just make you that you don't have to check each time with a separate cloth. But nevertheless, Beit Hillel does worry about the fact that you check after each bia. If you check after each bia, that means that they are choshesh l'damim. So if I take that plus Beit Shemay, who clearly says you need a separate aid for each one, it's clear that both of them are indicating that we worry about the dam there.
At what point are we talking about manifest?
Let's toss what says over here. Lo yivol v'yishneh perishim lo yibdok. The shema machmat chimud tashmit vishon rato. That the chimud of tashmish causes a woman to have sightings. It means that there are other factors that are involved here. Yes, she has a fixed cycle, but there are other things that can cause a sighting of damim. So we're afraid that maybe those things like chimud tashmish can cause her to have a sighting of damim. As you see here, Rabbi Zeir says, bal nefesh. This is only for a bal nefesh. It's not necessary that you have to check in between. That's number one. And number two is that there's no restriction against Boel v'yishneh. Over here, we know that there's no necessity to check for Bala. We know the check is all for Tarot. So to say here that he shouldn't be Boel v'yishneh is a din in Bala. It's not a din in Tarot. And that's why Rabbi Zeir says Bal Nefesh. Bal Nefesh should be careful about this and do a check in between the Biot before he has a new Biot to check those Eidim beforehand. It's not necessary, because we know, first of all, the Takanat Chachamim is all about Tarot and nothing to do with Biyah. That's number one. And number two is, even if you don't check, you are Mutar. So that's why he says Bal Nefesh. Rav Amar, Bo B'Shuneh. Rav says, not even a Bal Nefesh has to check. There is no necessity to check. As we say, that these brightas are all about tarot. It has nothing to do with bala. And we're not going to cause you to check for bala because of the problem of shema. The balim will be worried about her checking, hifrosh, and they'll separate and they won't have bia with the woman. So therefore we don't encourage this type of checking, and we don't say, don't have a second bia until you check. So Rabbi disagrees with Rabbi Zera's premise that a bal nefesh should check. Satani Nami Ochli, a brighter that supports the opposition of Rabbah, but men do I remember the tarot, about bala muteret. With all these checks, that's a dinah in tarot. When it comes to bala, she's muteret. But do I remember him shenicha b'chazkat ara? That's as long as he left her when she was Torah. V'nicha b'chazkat tmeah, lo lami b'chazkatat, shetamar Torah. If he left her and she was tmeah, then she is, remains in that chazaka being tmeah until she specifically states that she is Torah, she removes the chazkat tumah. Amar Rabbi Ava, Amar Rabbi Chia bar Hashem Rab. But Kabeh, she does a check with a cloth of Avad, and then it was lost. Surah L'Shemesh, Ad Shetibdok. She can't have Bia until she checks again. So now, Bat Kabeh, at night, before Tashmish. She checked before her Tashmish, and then she loses the aid. She may not have Bia until she does another check ahead of time. Matkifla, Rabbi Ava. Ilu Ita Milo Mishamsho. Even if the aid was around, wouldn't she be permitted to have Bia? As we said before, even according to Beit Shammai, you don't check the cloths until the morning. So if you're not checking the cloths until the morning, even if the cloth is here, we would permit her to have bia. And we wouldn't know whether the cloth had evidence on it or not. So what does it matter if you do have the aid or you don't have the aid? If that's the case, what's the difference if you lost the aid or you have the aid and you're not going to check until the morning? Either way, she's going to have bia tonight, and it has no impact on her bia tonight. So why, when she loses the aid, does she have to do a check before she has bia? It's a difference whether we have the evidence or not. We need to have this check in order to, number one, know about the tarot. And if we find out that she had damim beforehand, we'll also have a chiyub chatat that's involved. But here, at least we can know what the issue is. In the morning, we can check, and we can't understand what happened or what transpired. On the other hand, if you have no aid here, then we don't know what happened. We don't know whether it's even mitameh tarot. We don't know whether he has to bring a chatat. You're creating sfekot that we don't want. So therefore we say, demand that she checks again and has the aid. Yes, we will only know the information in the morning. Yes, it will be retroactive and it will all have to be figured out in the morning. But nevertheless, we can figure it out in the morning. If you don't have the aid, there is no way to ever figure it out. And therefore we don't allow her to be mishamesh until she does a check. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Asur l'adam shishamesh mitato b'yom. It's asur for a person to cohabitate during the day. Mikra, where do we learn this from? Shneamar. It says in Yob, when he is upset at that which has befallen him, curses the fact that he was born and the day that he's born. He says, Yovad Yom Ivaleid Bo, day that I was born on should be lost from history. Valaila Amar Hora Gover. And the night where it was announced that a boy was conceived. Both of those should be wiped from the annals of history. So the Gemara says from that, Laila Nitan Leherayon, Biyom Lanitan Leherayon. It says over there, the night on which I was conceived. Conception is proper for the night. Conception is not proper for during the day. From there, Rabbi Yochan has evidence that a person should not cohabitate during the day. The Pashtuta Pasuk in Mishlei is, the one who disregards or denigrates the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be Yamut, should die. As Rashi points out over here, that HaMishamish Bayom Bali De Bizayon, a person who has Bia during the day brings along bozeh, bozeh derechav. So derech, as Rashi points out, is euphemism for bia, cohabitating, and bozeh, person who creates bizayon, process of cohabitating, yamut, should die. How does he create that embarrassment? Because if during the daytime there's light there, shem yireh ba davar miguna vititkana alav, maybe you'll see something that is displeasing to him, because now there's light there, and she's exposed. So therefore we say, don't allow the woman to be exposed by where the husband could see her and then have some sort of reaction, repulsion from the woman because of what he sees. So that's the machloket Reish Lakish Rabbi Yochanan as to the source. But then, Reish Lakish, I cried Rabbi Yochanan, my darish be. What does Reish Lakish do with the pasuk of Rabbi Yochanan? The darish Rabbi Chanina bar Papa, he needs it for this memory of Rabbi Chanina bar Papa. Tola malach hamunei lahirayon. Laila Shemo. The Malach, who's in charge of conception, Laila is his name. So again, the idea that conception only happens at night, and therefore the Malach is Mumuneh, is called Laila. Notel Tipa, Umamidal Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He brings the Tipav Shech Vatzer before Kodesh Baruch Hu, that's going to create the conception. V'omer lefanav Ribono Shelam, Tipa Zu Matei Aleha. This conception, what is the din of this conception? Gibor Chalash, who would be strong or weak? Chacham or Tipesh, bright or foolish? Shir Ani, rich or poor? V'ilu Rashal Tzadik Lo Kamar. The only thing that's missing here is whether he'll be good or bad. The Rabbi Chanina, Damar Chanina, Akol Bidei Shemayim, Chutz Mirat Shemayim. Everything is predetermined except for Yirat Shemayim, whether you'll be good or bad. Shneamar, Batay Yisrael, Hashem Lokech Eshoel Mimach. What does Hashem want from you? Call Yisrael, Ki Im Lirat Hashem. That only thing that Hashem asks from us is Yirat Elokim, to do the right thing, to do good and not do bad, because that's the only thing you can ask from us. Can't ask anything else because everything else is predetermined. Whereas this is the one item where you have control, is to make the decision whether to be good or bad, whether to have Yirat Hashem or not have Yirat Hashem. As Tosfot points out, this has major implications in terms of the philosophy of understanding the difference between free will and determination. We have this Gemara here, as well as Tosfot points out over here, a number of other Gemaras that also deal with this issue. We have a Gemara in Nitubot, in Nidarim, in a number of places that are called B'dei Shemaim Chutz Mitzinim U'Pachim. Everything is determined from heaven except for Tzinim U'Pachim, which are probably cold and hot. That's what I think Rashi says. Other Rishonim say no, it's also a cold and fever, one of those two things. So those things are not determined by heaven. Those are things that you can prevent. And we also have the Gemara at the end of Shabbat. It says a person who's born under the mazel of Dam, born under the constellation of Mars, will either be a shochet, listim, a murderer, or a mohel. So you have all these Gemaras that seem to indicate that there's a certain amount of determination and no free will. So Tosfot tries to reconcile them over here. It says, Hakol b'dei shemayim chutz mitzinim pachim, ha'chayiri b'toldot ha'adam u'midotav. Our Gemara is speaking about, what are the character traits of the individual? What are his strengths and his weaknesses? What are the tchunot, characteristics that an individual is blessed with? Batam mari b'moraot. Over there is not anything about the individual himself, but with incidents. Kigon chaleim u'parniyot, kol nigzarlav. Everything comes from a shamayim, and he can't change that, because it was determined by his actions, except for tzinim u'pachim, which are, deal with the negligence of the individual. If they dress warmly, if they take care of themselves, they will not have those things happen to them. And then Tosfot says at the end, "Ba'od darbei dvarim talui b'mazel." Many things are determined by mazel. Kodesh Baruch Hu didn't like to change around the mazel, and therefore we're going to assume that the mazel has some sort of determining effect on the individual, even though he has free will within the mazel to have things come out. Tosfot over here is trying to create this delicate balance between what is predetermined and what is considered to be free choice. Many of the Rishonim and Achronim have to reconcile all of these Gemarot and come up with different views or different philosophies about how to know when the threshold of free will goes away and we reach into the world of predetermination. But you do see that there's a certain amount of a person's life that is predetermined. Whether it is it's their character traits in some sense of their destiny, or whether it is major parts of their life because of the environment in which they're found in, then based on the choices they make and the environments they place themselves in, then the outcomes are predetermined. Again, there are different ways to view this. Michtav Me'eliyahu, Soloveitchik, they all have different ways of trying to reconcile between them. The limud is like what Reish Lakish says, and it said, gever hore. Talk about the person who is conceived. My hore gever. Gever hore gever means, lightly nitan le'irion, v'lom le'nitan le'irion. Yochanan says that the order of the pasuk should be in reverse if Rabbi Reish Lakish is limud, or what he's bringing from Chanina Bar Papa, is correct. Because it says there, in our, the way we have it, halayla amar hora gover, the man is conceived, not gever hora. This person will be conceived, which is the way that it's being read by Reish Lakish, is that whatever Hashem determines, that will be in the conception. So this way Rabbi Yochanan's reading it, is that conception of the man happens at night. Yochanan, I brother Reish Lakish, my darish bay. What does Rabbi Yochanan do with the pasuk of Reish Lakish? Mi bailei dechtiv. B'Sefer Ben Sirah. The Gemara quotes Sefer Ben Sirah. It's one of the Sfarim HaChitzonim. The mention of Sefer Ben Sirah here is interesting because it is a Sefer that a lot of which was found in the Cairo Geniza, was uncovered in the Cairo Geniza, and is one of the classified as one of the Sfarim HaChitzonim, but it's very interesting because it's clear that the Tanaim and the Amoraim had access to it, and that it played an important role in terms of their understanding. And the Sefer Ben Sirah is more of a broader work than simply more the intricacies of halacha, but it has poetry and songs and all sorts of things that have a broader perspective or philosophy on life, clear that the Tanaim and Marim subscribe to it, and it's interesting that it was found in the Cairo Geniza, which helped us to re-piece together the nature of the Sefer Ben Sira. Shosha Saneti Ve'arba'a Lo Ahavti. There are three things that I hate, and there's a fourth one that I don't like at all. One is Sar Hanargal Be'Beit HaMishtot. Talmud Chocham that finds himself at the parties all the time. Finds himself inside the bar all the time. People are meraneing on him, that what's he doing in these places. V'amila, sar hanargan, that a person that speaks, Talmud Chocham that speaks too much, v'moshiv shevet b'mromei korat, person who sets up his yeshiva at the high places of the city in a place where there's a lot of traffic, because there's plenty of distractions, as well as it looks like the person is a gas ruach, they're haughty and setting up their yeshiva up there. Someone who holds their aver and urinates. Someone who enters into his friend's house suddenly. Doesn't have to be his friend's house, even your own house. You shouldn't burst into the house. You should always knock before you come into a room, knock before you enter into the house. There are four things that Hashem hates. And I don't like them either. Someone who enters his house suddenly, which is one of the ones that we just said before, and then of course to his friend's house, that's true. This again correlates to what we saw from the Sefer Ben Sira, person who holds his Aver and urinates. And now we're going to have new ones that are mentioned here from Rabbi Shimon Yochai is someone who urinates naked in front of his bed. Gemara and Shabbos says that that is kasha le'aniyuta, that causes poverty to come. There's another girsa in the Gemara, which is shemesh mitato arum, someone who cohabitates while they are naked, which is a lack of tzniyot, and therefore that's improper. So the girsa of some of the other svarim, and in Vayikra Rabba Tosfot points out, is that that's the case over here. And the last one is hamishemesh mitato b'fnei kulchai, someone who cohabitates in front of other people. Some of their view to the Shema, feel the fnei achbarim. We have to worry about the mice that we're having cohabitating with the mice around the house. Amalei Shinina. As we've seen before, Rabbi Yehuda's nickname was Shinina, either because he had large teeth or because he was very sharp. Lo, Ela Kagon shall bait Ploni. For so such and such a family, that they cohabitate in front of their servants and maidservants. Binu my Dorush. How come that family did that? Because they were Doresh, Shmulachem Poim Achamor. When Avram and Yitzchak are going up to the Akedah, he indicates to Eliezer and Yishmael that you guys should wait over here with the chamor, with the donkey. Hadomeh lechamor. The juxtaposition makes it that this nation, the Knanim, are domeh lechamor. They're like animals. So since they are classified like animals, there's no isur. As we said before, the only issue is in front of humans, not in front of animals. Now this is very interesting. Gemara that continues. Rabba bar Ravuna, Mekarkesh Zage Dekilta. Rabbi Bar Huna used to ring the bells of his bed before he had bia. According to Rashi, that means that he used to have the bells that surrounded his bed, he used to ring them in order to tell everybody to get out of the way, because he was about to have bia. Tosafot raises the issue right away. What type of tzniut is that? That he's ringing the bells to tell everybody he's about to have bia. So therefore he favors the girsa of the Rabbeinu Chananel and the Oroch, that mikarshe gazei, that means that he used to swing away or swat away these buvim, and it's mekarkesh gazei, instead of zage gazei, which are bugs or mosquitoes. And that accords with the Gemara that comes right after, which is Abai Bali Didve. The Abai used to swat away the zvuvim, the flies. Rava Bali Pruche. And Rava used to swat away the yitushim, the mosquitoes. Amishema Yochai. Hey mitvarim hein, shoseh otam mitchayev benafsho v'damo brosho. Five things that a person does that he is responsible for his own death or whatever happens to him. Ochel shum kaluf, batzal kaluf, beitza klupa, someone who eats peeled garlic, or peeled onions, or a peeled egg, veshote mashkim, or drinks liquids, mizugim, that were already poured, shavar lehem alayla, that went overnight. They were left overnight. Any of these items that were left overnight, then a person is at risk. Balan bebeit akvarot, someone who sleeps in the cemetery, venotel tzipornav, vizorkan the rishut avabim, someone who cuts his nails and throws them into rishut avabim, someone who bloodlets and then afterwards cohabitates. So all of these things, a person who does them takes his life into his own hands, because these are all dangerous items.